That's exactly what 8-year-old criminal mastermind David Jacoby was counting on, incidentally. Oh, Lord. Hello. Welcome to Debatable, a fake television show where we implicate 8-year-olds in the past of major crimes. That is David Jacoby, the one that doesn't. No, there. Yep, there it is. And there below is Bill Barnwell. Bill Barnwell, welcome. Anything from your past as an 8-year-old that you'd like to confess to today?
I stole some zinc from a science laboratory in elementary school, and I feel like I got really cracked down on hard. I feel like I deserve a second chance. I was almost kicked out of school for stealing that zinc. What did I want to do?
This is a great transition story.
Figuring out.
This is an alley-oop, a LaMelo Ball Bridges alley-oop transition story to Pablo's first topic. Great job by you, Bill Barnwell.
Oh, Alabaster. What is, in fact, the first topic that we're dealing with today? Speaking of people making decisions that are both newsworthy and problematic in ways.
Well, we're actually bumping that story down. Actually, maybe this is the story you're talking about. We're going to start with Aaron Rodgers' new contract, which is, allegedly 4 years for $200 million, although that's been disputed by Pat McAfee. And our question is, what's your reaction to the deal?
I love that already there are disputes. Like, the first take I had on this, the literal first take I had was like, oh, the drama, like not as soap opery. But no, right now, I mean, what has been reported by Ian Rappaport, what has been reported, as I like to say, it was supposed to be a 4-year, $200 million contract, $153 million guaranteed, the highest paid player in
Let's
NFL
go.
history. Also, specifically, what Pat McAfee had, by the way, dystopian Howard Cosell, what he had reported earlier, Aaron Rodgers was not looking to be the highest paid player in NFL history, and now he is there on the internet disputing the Rapper report. So, Bill, I trust you on matters of NFL economies more than
Sure.
literally any other person in this universe. What is happening here?
I think we are all maybe a little addicted to the Aaron Rodgers news cycle. And this is it. This is the end of the cycle. And can you blame Pat McAfee for not wanting it to end? I mean, it started with this guy as a ex-punter, ended with him getting a $30 million a year deal in his own right. This is Aaron Rodgers' runoff for
Job
Pat McAfee.
creation.
So I'm not blaming Pat McAfee in the slightest. Keep it going like 3 years from now that this contract is not real. And it's actually you have to get past the truth to get to what the real Aaron Rodgers contract is. I mean, this is what makes sense, right? Like, for years, we've been sort of going off the idea that the Packers were eventually going to transition to Jordan Love as their quarterback. But Aaron Rodgers went back-to-back MVPs. It made no sense for them to go to Jordan Love, even though that had been their plan a couple years ago when they drafted Jordan Love in the first place. So this is the Kobe Bryant ring. This is the Mark Sanchez, I'm sorry contract. This is the Aaron Rodgers, I'm sorry extension. $200 million. I don't really believe he's going to actually get $153 million fully guaranteed, but it's going to be a lot of money and it's going to lock him in as a starter. And it ends the Jordan Love era in Green Bay before it ever began.
Jacoby, before I get your thoughts on this, can I just ask? So 153 million guaranteed. You don't think he's going to get that just because that's an insanely large number for a guy who is this old? Is that just the math of it?
Pablo, when NFL contracts are guaranteed, what that means is that they're not guaranteed. That is the first rule of NFL contracts, that when you see the word guaranteed, you have to know it means absolutely nothing. I think what's going to happen here is Aaron Rodgers is going to get a big signing bonus, which is going to reduce the Packers' cap hit. Now, Rodgers has like a 40-plus million dollar cap hit, create the space to bring in Davante Adams on a franchise tag, which they've also done today. And then there's going to be base salaries guaranteed into the future. So if Aaron Rodgers wants to play 3 or 40, yeah, Packers will be happy to pay him a guaranteed salary. But either he'll get a new deal before then or he'll be retired. So to me, it's going to be a lot of money. But that guaranteed number, it might as well be $500 million. Might as well be a Taysom Hill contract for all that matters when it comes to Aaron Rodgers' future.
Well, it, I love having Bill here today, not just because he's the best, because he might be the only person that understands NFL contracts.
Yes.
It's like when you have like a friend in finance, you ask him a couple of questions about work and you can follow along for like 40 seconds and they start getting into like more intricate stuff and you just zone out. And at the end of it, you're like, oh, okay, cool. So I'll buy some Apple stock. But like, yep, that's how I feel about the NFL contracts. Like, all right, yep, $200 million guaranteed, the highest paid player ever. And I'm like, didn't Patrick Mahomes just get $500 million? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, how does this even work? Oh, $153 million guaranteed. Where does the other $47 million go? Like, oh, they're going to give him like $100 million just for signing a piece of paper that his base salary is going to be $3 million moving forward. And mm-hmm, oh, by the way, we're over the cap by like $100 million, but don't worry, we have until next Wednesday to move some stuff around. And mm-hmm, we'll be fine. But Devontae mm-hmm Adams, we can't afford him. We can't afford Rodgers. We can't afford anybody. This is illegal on paper. But don't mm-hmm worry, we'll figure it out. Oh, yeah, in the NFL, four-year deals, actually two-year deals. We haven't mm-hmm told you about that. And, yeah, mm-hmm, and Bobby Bonilla and Aaron Rodgers will both be getting paid somehow by the Packers in 2027. But I'm not really sure how it's going to work. But that is how it's going to work. And, Bill, I think you're the only person that understands any of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is like when I was living in San Francisco and I was making $32,000 a year and I had to like pay rent and have a life and I was like doing some elaborate like credit card scam to like pay rent and have a job.
There is like, the confession of a crime from there, yes, Bill Barnwell there, that yes, we were hoping for, Jacoby.
That's finally seven Bill Barnwells that MasterCard is trying to track down $10,000 from.
So Rodgers will be 43 by the end of this contract, to be very clear. Mm-hmm. The other reporting suggests that this came down in the end. Look, the Steelers were mentioned. They were thrown out at one point, right? What was the other team in the AFC that was mentioned?
The Broncos.
Denver. Well, Denver. Oh, yeah. Right. Came down to Denver and Green Bay.
Came down mm-hmm to Denver and Green Bay, but there were like four teams that were sort sure of rumored at the beginning of the week. And so, look, I just wonder, right? Like, if none of us are truly surprised that the Packers chose the guy who has won two straight MVPs over Jordan Love, the guy who we're not sure is good.
Did you see him play last year in that one game? You see yeah Jordan Love play quarterback mm in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers mm just sat back like, okay. He was like, oh, okay. Yesterday's price is not today's price. No. That's no what Aaron Rodgers / Fat Joe had to say after Jordan Love had his first start in the NFL.
That's right. Aaron Rodgers versus Jordan Love, not a real contest in that regard. But look, does Jordan Love then become, I mean, can we just establish him as, I don't know, can the Packers spin this as the greatest motivational technique in sports history, that Aaron Rodgers went and won two MVPs because they drafted a guy who actually wasn't good? Ooh. Can this be anything but success for the Packers in retrospect if you get Aaron Rodgers till age 43, or is there complication, Bill? Is there indictment here because of how this played out?
Absolutely not. This was the plan all along, Pablo. Go back and read the column I wrote the day after Aaron Rodgers was waylaid by the decision to draft Jordan Love. I wrote like 3,000 words about how he was going to get traded eventually. Just ignore all that. Put that to the side.
Yep.
The very last part was, maybe this will motivate Aaron Rodgers to win back-to-back MVPs. I didn't say exactly that, but I said that it might motivate him. And I think that was part of the logic for the Packers when they did make this decision. I think they liked Jordan Love, but he was a franchise quarterback. Aaron Rodgers had been declining each of the last three, and maybe even four seasons up to that point. But I think that was not within the realm of possibility of, hey, maybe this gets Aaron Rodgers to another level. I don't think they expected to get back-to-back MVP seasons, but I think sort of lighting a fire under Aaron Rodgers was part of that decision. So I think maybe it wasn't what they planned originally, at least totally, but I think it worked out fine for them if they used a first-round pick and managed to coax back-to-back MVP years out of their starting quarterback. And now they're going to have some kind of trade market for Jordan Love, right?
Yeah, what happens to Jordan Love now? Like, Jacoby, you just described him as I think most NFL fans experienced him, which is like, oh, okay, no thanks. What happens
here? That was the
here
best weekend of football for Aaron Rodgers' career. The one yep weekend absolutely he didn't play. Because, mm-hmm, I mean, again, it's unfair. It was unplanned. He was kind of thrown out there. But he looked so bad. He looked so uncomfortable and just lost on that field that I believe he stays as the backup in. Barnwell, one thing you said about the 3,000 words, you talked about him being traded eventually. We can throw that away because that's only 5% of that article, because I've been yep reading Barnwell articles for a long mm-hmm time, and they make mm-hmm Bill Simmons articles look like sonnets. So listen, I love a long read from Barnwell because I can plagiarize all the takes. I don't remember that one in particular.
That's fine.
But if you watch Jalen and Jacoby, there's definitely some lingering Barnwell plagiarism takes going on.
To be
constantly.
Clear.
Yeah,
that's what I'm here for.
All I do on shows that I'm not on with Bill Barnwell is plagiarize Bill Barnwell takes.
Exactly. I don't think we're alone. I do not think
that's
we're
what,
alone.
No. That's fine. That's what I'm here for.
A Monday Barnwell article will fill you up with takes all the way through the week. It's like a meal prep. You know what I mean? It's like take meal prep.
I am the HelloFresh of the ESPN universe.
Damn right.
A quick question for you, Barnwell. Like, serious from a football standpoint. I've always said that Aaron Rodgers is coming back, not just because I plagiarize Barnwell takes on my shows, but because I don't see another version of this which is as successful on the field. Alabaster, put up your little, like, what's supposed to be negative thing about the two MVPs and one playoff win. I see that as, well, one playoff win was because they were the number one seed and got a bye and then lost to the Niners. And that last, you know, the last game was pretty fluky. It was like 10 to 13. I don't remember the actual numbers, but that does look pretty bad. But you got to remember, one of those years they had a bye, so they were in the second round. And I feel like this is the best place for him to win football games, which ultimately is what he's trying to do.
100%.
Alabaster is demanding in. What do you want?
Can I read you a tweet from the NFL on CBS?
Please.
I guess.
Thank you. It says, playoff record since 2017. Blake Bortles, 2-1. Aaron Rodgers, 2-3. Hey, do it in the playoffs, Aaron.
Oh, yes.
Alabaster's really trying to stir up the pot here. Like, like Aaron Rodgers, like, has something to prove. You know what I mean? It's like, the guy's the MVP twice and he's the best quarterback in the league.
Oh, double interjection.
Double interjection.
Well, okay, well, so this actually leads you to a follow-up question. Because I think that regardless of what we think about Aaron Rodgers, yada, 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 he's a fire-breathing dragon, most accurate passer we've ever seen, blah, 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 most talented quarterback of all time. I think you could say winning one Super Bowl and his lack of playoff success is a bit disappointing given his talent level and the talent level on his team. And the question I have is, if this is going to lower the talent on his team, did they overpay him? Should they have given him this contract? Like this amount?
Why are you trying to cancel Aaron Rodgers?
This is
why?
I mean, he officiated David Bakhtiari's wedding this weekend. That's what I really want to discuss. But Bill Barnwell, as the person who's already established, is the only person on the planet who understands NFL contracts. Please explain to Alabaster why it's all funny money. It doesn't matter. This doesn't actually hurt the roster by paying him this much.
Because it's fine. He's good. He's a quarterback. Like, there's like four dudes on the planet you'd rather have be a quarterback on your football team than Aaron Rodgers.
Maybe four.
I don't know if I'd even say four. Like, if Aaron Ryan Fitzpatrick, Nathan Peterman, because you want to rebuild and get a better quarterback.
Of course.
But the reality is, if Aaron Rodgers was a free agent and teams did not have a cap, Aaron Rodgers would get $100 million per year. And the same thing with LeBron, the same thing with any NBA max player. Like, the quarterbacks are worth so much more than they are actually getting paid. So, to me, like, yes, they might not be able to add another edge rusher. They might not be able to add, you know, another veteran linebacker. That's fine. They will find guys. Devondre Campbell, the guy they signed off the street this year, was a Pro Bowler because he was on a great team and played a lot better. They've added players to their roster who have made things better and who have played better in Green Bay than they did elsewhere, in part because they get to play with Aaron freaking Rodgers as their quarterback. Like, I am not worried about Aaron Rodgers getting paid. I think that there are much bigger fish to fry when it comes to contracts than Aaron Rodgers.
But in terms of, like, disappointments, I mean, look, we could have the argument, I suppose, like, should Aaron Rodgers have won more than one Super Bowl, which gets us to, like, larger team questions and so forth. I'd like to pivot us to how disappointing this must be for the Denver Broncos. Like, the Denver Broncos,
like
went and hired Nathaniel Hackett, right? Under the presumption that this was the key to attracting Nathaniel Hackett's buddy, Aaron Rodgers. What the hell are the Denver Broncos going to do at this point? Because they're in a division also where they're going to go and play all of the other quarterbacks who we might think could be better than Aaron Rodgers pretty soon based on the actuarial charts of Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes and so forth and so on, right? And now, hey, congratulations, Nathaniel Hackett. Go do the thing.
Now, I don't have kids. You guys have kids. I feel I like this is the thing. I'm not looking to make a trade, but I have some future draft picks. We can talk later. I feel like this is the situation where like your kid wants something really like notable for Christmas, like a PlayStation 5 or something, and you're like, oh yeah, we'll get you a PlayStation 5, and then you can't find it, and then Christmas is coming, and you're like, oh no, I gotta get something, and so you get them something else, and they open up the present, and they're super excited, and they're like, you got us a Jordan Love for Christmas? That's what this feels like to me. Is that by
Bill, it's not that. It's
not that.
I know you wanted a PlayStation 5, mm-hmm. but we went and invited the guy who works at Best Buy over to dinner instead.
To talk to you about how great
and
they are.
That guy knows a lot about the PlayStation Squad. 5. Can definitely get you one.
Geek Squad Gary's going to be over here talking about how great the PlayStation 5 is. Discuss just what the PlayStation 5 would look like and feel like and what it would be like to play it right here in your living room. But eventually Geek Squad Gary's going to look around the room, much like Nathaniel Hackett, and be like mm-hmm. the offsite chemistry building for the offensive coaches and wherever, like, Cabo or wherever they go to. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be really awkward. Yeah. They go around the room and he's gonna be like, so what are you bringing to the table? It's like, well, I'll be right back.
No, this is like when the Knicks hired Royal Ivy to be an assistant coach because they thought that Royal Ivy's friendship with Kevin Durant was gonna mm-hmm. get them Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. And not to call the Denver Broncos the New York Knicks, because that is an insult that no mm-hmm. NFL team truly deserves in this context. It feels like it to me. It feels just like, and plan B is TBD.
There, like, plan B is, I guess, Tom Brady. Plan TB, maybe. Like, you're at this point.
Oh, get spicy, Barnwell. Get spicy. Let's talk.
Well, there's only two NFL news cycles. There's the Tom Brady news cycle, and there's the Aaron Rodgers news cycle. And we both had them both plucked off the table. You got to bring one back. Let's bring back Tom Brady and see what we can do. I mean, for the Broncos, like, you set the bar at the Aaron Rodgers level by hiring Nathaniel Hackett. Like, by delivering anything besides Aaron Rodgers, you're letting down your fan base. So now they're going to say, hey, we're going to look at Russell Wilson. They're not getting Russell Wilson either. They're stuck. They're in a totally terrible situation of their own making. So I don't have any sympathy for the Broncos here. They made their bed with Nathaniel Hackett. Now they're lying in it. I feel bad for Jerry Jeudy.
I feel bad for Jerry Jeudy, too. We all had it in our heads. Like, just imagine Aaron Rodgers mm-hmm. and Jerry Jeudy down the sideline. Listen, I'll say this for Denver Broncos. Can I sell you on some quarterbacks for the Broncos? Russell Wilson, potentially. A Jimmy G situation? Sure. Right? Could we get Jimmy G? Is Jimmy G going to be the quarterback on the 49ers? Mm-hmm. And
just that Barnwell, jawline, yeah.
We always talk about these news cycles in the NFL, and there's this Aaron Rodgers news cycle, and there's this Tom Brady news cycle. But let's just imagine that a wide receiver had the Hard Rock Casino app on his phone during a 5-day break from the team. Let's just imagine that happened in a hypothetical world. There would be something else to discuss, wouldn't there?
Alabaster, I feel like that is an alley-oop in your direction. Yes. So what's next?
Thank you, Jacoby. We will move on. And our question is, how big a deal is it that Calvin Ridley bet on NFL games?
I would love to have asked Calvin Ridley this question, just because I'm curious. Like, what did you think? Because I'm no expert on the sort of moral hierarchy of mm-hmm. NFL teams, right? I have a sense of it, but the only thing I really know is that you can't do this, right? You can't do this thing. It feels like the most mortal sin that the NFL has established. Mm. All professional sports have long established, going back to Pete Rose. And so, yes, Calvin Ridley has been suspended for the entirety of the 2022 season because the gambling policy says this, quote, all NFL personnel are prohibited from placing, soliciting, or facilitating any bet, whether directly or indirectly through a third party or any NFL on any NFL game, practice, which I didn't consider until just now, or other event. Wait a minute. So you could get banned for a season by like betting on a mini camp, which is truly a thing I would like to see now.
I think that's what next for Calvin Ridley. He has to just stretch the laws a bit, see what he can get away with. Bet on practice, dude. Here's the saddest part for me, is that Calvin Ridley, according to multiple reports, including some from Calvin Ridley himself on Twitter, this is what we can piece together. He bet $1,500 and made three bets, a three-team parlay, a five-team parlay, and an eight-team parlay on NFL games.
Go big,
which
Calvin.
Which are terrible bets, first off. But we got to figure.
I think I've ever had a three-team parlay in my life. Yeah.
let alone an eight-team parlay. $500 per game, parlay, you got to figure.
You know what's cooler than a million parlays? A billion parlays.
It feels so good when you push bet, and it's like, I could win $70,000 if these 19 things break my way.
No, it's the equivalent of going on Zillow and looking up houses that are like $95 million. Like, why am I even doing this?
I could live there. I mean, I just have to win the lottery three times in a row. The worst
part
about
18-team parlay,
The worst part about all this for me is that, so this is over a three-week window where he was away from the team. So we know pretty much which 3 weeks he could have bet on these games. And one of the bets in those parlays was on the Falcons.
Falcons-Jags.
In the stretch. Falcons-Saints. Falcons-Saints, well, they won. They beat the Saints, surprisingly. Then they lost 43-3 and 25-0. 45-3 to the Cowboys, 25-0. To the Patriots. I would feel so bad if Calvin Ridley lost an entire season of his career because he bet on a 3, 5, or 8 game parlay, including the Falcons, in a game they lost by 40 points.
That's sad.
Terrible.
That's sad.
Well,
sad. Well, he says, Jacoby, says to be clear, right, that like he didn't bet against the Falcons. Like that was a big point of emphasis because he was not trying to tank games.
Yeah.
Or not, was not trying to root against the team and hope that they tanked. Yeah.
Sure. Well, a couple things. We don't look for consistency or justice when the NFL is sort of like laying down justice. It's full of hypocrisy and contradiction, and it's always wrong. There is that sign that Alabaster had earlier about the gambling policy. It's up in every locker room, like right where they had the like don't break your neck when you tackle people sign. And then also, they're allowed to play fantasy football, but they can't win more than $250.
I didn't know this.
Yes, this is a fact. That is gambling on football, right? So you can play fantasy football and you can win $250, but you can't make an 18 parlay that includes your team to win. Also, I don't know if you guys remember this. I saw a man try to murder another man with his own helmet on the field. And that was a 6-game suspension. Okay, maybe murder is a strong word. Assault.
Allegedly.
He tried to assault somebody with their own helmet, tried to hit them in the head on Monday Night Football. And they got 6 games. Calvin Ridley put in an 18 parlay in the Hard Rock app. And he is missing an entire season. Of course you cannot have players bet on their own sports for a million reasons that I don't need to explain to our audience. However, this punishment just doesn't fit the crime, especially because of the changing attitudes that not just the league, not just the law, but like our whole society has about gambling. That like this is just kind of silly. It should be a 2-game suspension and a warning to the rest of the league that this is going to be something they're going to monitor moving forward.
Okay, wait, I have 2 thoughts about that, Jacoby. Number one, I like how the NFL's fantasy football gambling policy is you can only do this if you're bad at it.
Yeah, you can win a little bit. Like, you can only win a little bit. I wonder if the prize can be $10,000, but they can't get there. So then they can win 6, they get $250, they're fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all of that very, very conflicting in terms of what we're actually concerned about. How does the integrity of the game get affected when people have interests that are financial on the games that they are somehow participating in and or have inside information about? The second thing, though, in terms of like how weighty this punishment should have been, I mean, what the NFL is clearly doing is they're going scared straight on this, right? They're waking up Calvin Ridley in the middle of the night and yelling in his face and telling him, you can't do this. Why do you want to do this? Just so they can play the video of that. For other people, for the other kids, right? Bill, I mean, I get it. For that reason, look, I understand why the proportionality of this is totally messed up for the reasons Jacoby said. Like, no one thinks this is a moral horror in any way. Like, domestic violence, domestic abuse, that stuff is punished less than this. All true. But in terms of, like, how to deter it, it does feel like that is clearly what the NFL is going for, no?
Absolutely. I mean, I think Roger Goodell was doing this with his hands when he was about to meter out this suspension. He was super excited to give Calvin Ridley a year because this is the perfect sort of warning, a meaningful player. I think Josh Shaw was a player who was suspended a couple years ago on the Cardinals, but a star player in the prime of his career, suspended for making a dumb parlay bet with his own phone, by the way, which is also another weird thing we can get to. But on his phone, like just it's an offhanded bet when he's away from the team. Like I think the NFL was happy, frankly, to mete out a significant suspension for a meaningful player as an example to other players, because the NFL wants to be involved with gambling. They don't want to have to step away from the billions of dollars this league can earn on an annual basis from gambling and daily fantasy football and all the other things that come into play here. And I think that this was inevitable. And I think when it was inevitable, I think Roger Goodell had this, you know, in his mind years ago, that when they were going to go in this direction, this was going to happen, and this was going to be the penalty when it did happen.
This number is way too low. This number right here is way, like, Dan Lebatard shouldn't be making like 4% of what the NFL makes.
So for the podcast audience, Alabaster has laid down a card that says that the NFL expects to make about $270 million in revenue off of its betting deals.
That is way too low from my understanding of how this industry works. I understand it's a small margin experience, but like, I would guess that number is going to, like, I think Alabaster put that up to make it sound impressive. But to me, $270 million in revenue from betting deals, that seems like a very small number for the NFL, and a number that I expect to be quadruple in size in like 3 years.
Okay. That's
the number reported by the New York Post. But I do have a follow-up question for you. Do you think the NFL is going to regret getting in bed with all the gambling companies? Seriously, if this is an ongoing issue.
No.
Man, no.
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 Absolutely not.
No. This is like you're going to sell me, like, actually people that win the lottery are actually more depressed after.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like, all right. Yeah, like,
no. Wait, you're telling me money isn't the key to happiness? Sure, buddy.
I know Biggie Small said more money, more problems, but something tells me if you give me $270 million, I can reduce the number of problems in my life pretty significantly.
Mm-hmm. Right. You're saying capitalism is a scam designed to actually drain us of all the things that make us truly happy in life? Yeah. Sure, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I do not think they will regret this whatsoever. But also, it's got to be very difficult to police this. Like, Mr. Ridley, do you have a friend that could place these terrible parlays for us?
Well, that's okay. So let's get to how he was caught. Because the fact that he bet on his, I mean, look, the alibi here, which is not an alibi that he did not gamble, but an alibi that he was not trying to hide anything, is pretty strong.
Sure.
He bet on his phone. And he used the app, the Hard Rock app, which has a partnership apparently with the NFL through a sort of like security service of some sort that has a cross-check database of everybody who works for the NFL, who then alerted the NFL and they were like, so Calvin Ridley is just wiling out on parlays. Do you want to do anything about that?
Here's the part that I can't get past in my head. I'm imagining Calvin Ridley on his phone and he asked their intern his information. Name, Calvin Ridley, enter. Occupation, NFL player.
Wide receiver.
There should be something. Yeah. Employer, National Football League. Like, it shouldn't have got past that point, right? There should have been a thing like, you're not allowed to do this. And the phone should just self-destruct. It should actually blow up in his hands. Like that's where this should have been stopped before he was even allowed to make an account. On the Hard Rock app, this was.
How much did Ridley lose, Alabaster, on this? What's the salary he's foregoing?
$10 million.
$10 million.
But again, as we covered earlier, NFL contracts don't really make sense. It's all funny money. Who knows? Yeah.
That's true.
Fair.
Yeah, it's like NFTs. But I don't know.
By the way.
Something, I guess, but I don't know if you'll ever get the money back. We don't know how it works.
Total non-zero chance that Calvin Ridley pivots to selling NFTs.
Parlay, screenshots of his parlay.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah,
yeah.
Yes.
I would pay a nice number. Like, if we had a GoFundMe just put together, be like, we want screenshots of the bets, Calvin. We could get that to mid five figures pretty easily, I'm sure.
We would spend $274 million on NFTs of Calvin Ridley's bets for this upcoming season.
Yes.
I will say this. I will say one serious thing. The NFL in 2016, I believe this is true, removed their rookie symposium and let each team handle their sort of rookie onboarding process. I don't think that's been a good thing. This Calvin Ridley thing, maybe he was told, don't do this, but I would rather have everyone together for a weekend and have the NFL telling you this. We've seen other players. We've seen Henry Ruggs commit his terrible crime where he killed someone with his car. I mean, I don't know if a player from the past telling you not to do that is going to change things. Maybe it won't. But I don't think the NFL is better for having gotten rid of that rookie symposium. And I think that's something that they need to bring back into the fold here in the years to come.
Wait, Calvin Ridley being repurposed as this sort of McGruff the crime dog character to go speak to NFL locker rooms, like, kids, Do not bet on NFL games is also a future that I would like to
see. I'm spinning this the other way. Calvin Ridley in between J.B. Smoove and Halle Berry talking about, like, I giveth you bets. You think you put in a seven-leg parlay? Guess what? That is nothing. I am the king, the emperor of the eight-game parlay. And I will give you the Ridley boost on this one this weekend, week four in the NFL.
Foul Beth on the Falcons. Why?
Exactly.
By the way, should we just like spare a thought for the Falcons? We've spent a lot of time talking about Calvin Ridley aspect of this.
Yes.
But the Falcons just lost their number one receiver due to one of the truly funniest things that is also like a mortal sin in sports that I've ever seen.
Can we point out something? Let's remember the Falcons Super Bowl loss. What's happened to the Falcons since then?
Oh, wow.
They lose a playoff game the following year where Nick Foles is a quarterback on the other team. He throws a ball, that an absolute duck that should have been intercepted just before halftime. It bounces off of a Falcons defender's helmet, bounces into the hands of an Eagles receiver, goes for a 30-yard gain. They kick a field goal. That leads to the final drive of the game where the Falcons have to score a touchdown instead of kicking a field goal. They don't score a touchdown. They lose the game. They go 7-9 in back-to-back seasons. They go 4-12 in a game in a season where their entire hands unit on special teams gets mesmerized by an onside kick and the Cowboys recover for a heartbreaking loss. They fire everyone. They have to trade Julio Jones, maybe the best player in franchise history, because they can't manage their cap. And now their best player possibly got suspended for a season. Maybe the best player. Their best young player gets suspended for an entire season for betting on the team to win and probably losing by a significant margin. I don't think what happened to the Falcons made them cursed, but I think you can make a strong case that they have not been the same whatsoever since blowing that lead.
Yeah. Can I propose a sort of alternate gambling policy for the NFL, given all of this?
Of course.
Because I'm curious, like, what is the – I mean, look, I understand why you shouldn't bet on other teams – or against your own team, but betting on yourself, betting on the team you are on to win, is there actually any practical downside as the quote-unquote integrity of the game is concerned? I'm just spitballing here. Like, what's the actual downside?
I could see it if you did an eight-leg parlay that included, like, your own yard production or you scoring a touchdown. Like, I could see angles in which, if it's not just purely a team bet, that betting on yourself in that way could hurt the integrity of the game and your approach to the game if it wasn't my team to win.
Fair point. But what if it was just a team bet? Like, I feel like this is a thing that NFL coaches would actually, like, quietly love. The idea that everybody is now financially incentivized to even be more of a maniac. Like, I think there should be an exclusive NFL players only gambling app where you can only bet on your own team.
This is a terrible idea.
And you should be allowed
Pablo.
To do it.
Pablo, this is a terrible idea.
This is such
shark
a bad
take.
Idea.
No, we're at Shark Tank now. Guys, Sharks, I'd like to pitch you on an NFL player-only gambling app, and they're allowed to bet on their team to win exclusively.
I'm not even going to go down that hypothetical highway. I'm not even
going to. I don't know. Are there NFTs on this hypothetical NFL-only gambling app?
Great question, Shark. Absolutely. And
you know what?
Just 20% of equity.
I'm going to do like the Upright Citizens Brigade thing. I'm going to be like, yes, and Pablo. How is it different than an incentivized-based contract? Right? Get 1,000 yards in the season. You get $1 million. Okay. What if I just did that instead of through my contract? I did that through an app.
Well, because of the sad news that NFL contracts are fake, and as we've all learned, gambling is often all too real.
I know.
That's the sad part.
Alabaster, we're not like sponsored by any particular gambling company, right? So we shouldn't like make all of these sort of jokes in the context of also use promo code debatable. Yeah.
We're not, but we're open to all offers. Please
sponsor.
I like the ones I've never heard of, like Rivers 65. Like what? Rivers 65? Like MGM and Caesars, I get, but some of these ones don't even.
I'm gonna stick to the rivers and the lakes that I'm used to.
Great reference.
Okay,
I thought we were going to go Rivers Cuomo on that one.
We're going to play a round of What Are the Chances? The game where we give you a topic. You tell us the chances. First one. What are the chances Pablo's beloved Joel Embiid separated himself from Nikola Jokic in the MVP race last night?
Man, I mean, if you haven't been like paying attention to what Embiid is doing, I'll start with that aspect of this. You guys can fill in the Jokic part of it. Mm-hmm. 43, 14, and 3, a 15-point blowout of the Chicago Bulls, who are, yes, like a top half of the Eastern Conference playoff team. And mm-hmm. Joel Embiid, since James Harden has arrived, not only have the Sixers not lost the game with that James part. Harden, but yeah, mm-hmm. like Joel Embiid has been the best peak version of the Godzilla that wants to smash your city, while also like somehow looking thinner and better than ever while doing it.
Oh, well,
counterpoint is what?
Hold on, never looking thin or good is my guy, the stretch mark five, the Joker, Nikola Jokic. And if you are like me and you have children and you get tired and you fall asleep after the Embiid game, then yes, he did separate himself. However, Jokic put up a 13 assist, 15 rebound, triple-double with 32 points. And James Harden had 14 assists for the Sixers. James Harden is a legit top 75 superstar. Like, Jokic is working with, like, Monte Morris. You know what I mean? And Aaron Gordon. Like, this is a completely different thing. Jokic has had his team performance way above expectations in a way that Embiid is not. If you look at Embiid and Giannis's like actual numbers, they're the exact same. Jokic has 4 more assists a game than Embiid and only 4 less points. Do some quick math. That's about a 5-point difference in Jokic's favor. Jokic has a much worse cast. And if the NBA were ever dumb enough to give me a vote, mine would be for Jokic right now.
Embiid working with the MGM and Caesars, Nikola Jokic on the River 65 cast. That's fair. That's a really reasonable argument. And I think I was looking back, it's not just for me how they played yesterday, but also how they played really for the past couple months. I mean, Joel Embiid, since Christmas, has been just absolutely unreasonable. Averaging 33 points per game, nearly 12 boards, more than 4 assists per game, has missed one game over that stretch, which I mean, that's always been the thing to Joel Embiid, is just can he stay healthy? Sixers are 23-8 over that stretch. I'm like, wow, those are incredible numbers. And then I looked at what Nikola Jokic was doing, and he's 26-14-9 over that stretch, and the Nuggets are 23-9 with him in the lineup over that run. So, like, I think absolutely, to me, looking at them play, it's at best a dead heat, maybe favoring Jokic, but we know how voters think, and there's two things that come into play that make me think that Joel Embiid is about to win the MVP based on what he's doing right now. Number one, Nikola Jokic won the MVP last year, and that matters. Mm-hmm. That matters to voters. Voters do not want to vote for the same person unless they are just on another level from everybody else. So if it's a dead heat, Nikola Jokic is not winning.
No, they gave Derrick Rose an MVP because they were like, LeBron's won enough.
Yeah.
How do you think they're going to deal with Nikola Jokic? Defending MVP.
I also want to say this, Barnwell, is just to support Embiid because I just supported Jokic. You read the numbers, but there's an Embiid eye test thing that's happening where it's just like, whoa, he just gets the ball around the basket, will just barrel his man over and then dunk and hang on the rim. He seems to do it at will. And now he's developed like a Dirk Nowitzki, like a 12-foot mid-post turnaround fadeaway thing.
Jacoby.
And by the way, he can pick and pop and shoots like 40% from three. Like, it's just insane. Yep. Like, I mean, again, these are both great players.
He's deciding
between lobster and steak, but what Embiid has done physically in a way that Jokic hasn't is like kind of scary if you were to defend that man in a basketball game.
Embiid is like a creative player. Like, if you were going to make yourself in a video game, you would make Joel Embiid. Like, you can do everything. You're a 99 in everything. Like, you can, you know, dunk and you're hitting like 35 footers. Like, that is what you would do. You wouldn't make Nikola Jokic if you were making yourself in a critical game. Like, oh, well, body type, average.
We want a guy who has had, as we learned on yesterday's show, this is debatable, has had 0 alley-oop dunks in his career.
Yeah, 7 feet tall.
Nikola Jokic has 0 alley-oop dunks. So look, Alabaster, what you got?
I just want to do
10% Alabaster. He likes to fill out the numbers.
No.
10%.
Thank you. I thought you flashed that with the hands.
I was trying to let you know. That marker's way too big. Your hands are tiny and your marker's too big. There's many markers on the market that are not that big.
Completely normal size hands, find a new slant.
Use the same one every week too.
I do need to do a tiny bit of cleanup about how, in quotes, NBA voters work. Because we said that it's always a narrative award. They don't want to give it to him back-to-back, blah, 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 the Derrick Rose thing. Yeah. Let's just look back through history in the last 20 years. Giannis won the MVP twice in 2019 and 2020. Steph won it twice in a row in 2015 and 2016. LeBron won it twice in a row in 2012, 2013. LeBron won it twice in a row 2009, 2010. Nash won it twice in a row, 2005, 2006. Duncan won it twice in a row, 2002, 2003. It's completely with precedent that Jokic, the best player in the NBA, should win the MVP a second time in a row for having the best season on a team that's less stacked than Embiid, that he's carried to just the same record.
You went from fact to fact to fact to fact to fact to opinion very quickly.
Yep. There's an important distinction there, though. I said if there's two players on the same level, if there's a dude who's just blowing away the rest of the league, then sure, he's going to win.
Nash won the MVP over Kobe.
Aaron Rodgers this year. Was that the first
But hold on. Okay, but there are a couple carve-outs here, though, right? Okay, number one is that most of the guys, Giannis, for instance, right? Like, there is the sort of cinematography test that we just described, right? Like, Nikola Jokic is a sleight-of-hand magician. Joel Embiid is David Blaine hanging himself from a crane and figuring out how to, like, escape from it. The spectacle of Embiid is similar to the spectacle of Giannis to LeBron, et cetera. These physical marvels, right? That, to me, is the first aspect. The second aspect is the one that we started this conversation off with, which is why I'm, like, at 90%, write that down for my answer, 90% that Joel Embiid has separated himself. Because we're sleepy, you know, like we're not watching the Nuggets, man. We're watching the 7 second or less Suns. They have a whole story. There's a book, like there's a whole thing about them, but we are sleepy when the Nuggets play. And for that reason, I am out.
And one thing about the Nuggets is everyone's like, oh, well, if they get Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. back, it's like, well, guess what? If they get them back, they're going to be some sort of like weird version of themselves like we're seeing from Klay Thompson right now. They don't need them back to be dangerous in the playoffs. That's how good Jokic is. Like, he's missing his number two and number three option on his team, and they're not missing a beat. They're, like, I don't know, 15 games above the Lakers in the standings, and it's just Nikola Jokic.
Yes,
like, that's
all of that is true.
I spent the weekend in Vegas this past weekend, and I saw a lot of magician ads. I feel like I was 10 seconds away from Pablo going all Chris Angel and saying, Embiid freak. And I would have absolutely, put 100% if that happened.
A Chris Angel.
But it didn't happen. So I'm putting 49%.
I got to say, speaking of sleight of hand, I do like how my only objection to Nikola Jokic is to blame media members for being sleepy while also embodying the people that I am blaming. Yeah, so fully understand what's happening.
Nuggets games are you watching?
Jacoby was willing to admit it. We're just going to pretend it didn't happen.
Oh, yeah. That's right. It's everyone else, not me.
Yeah.
Very thoughtful.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next one.
Fine. But as we do, I want to just point out that it was sort of fact, given that Jokic has, you know, the highest PR of all time. But moving on. Next one. What are the chances the punt god, Matt Araiza, had a more impressive combine than Jordan Davis? And we have a clip here.
I did more research for this topic than anything else in my life.
And any team that drafts him would be lucky to have
him. It's beautiful.
God, I love you, punt god. 472. Concerned about that, but I was watching a rise of interviews. I went deep on punt god. Oh, look at where this lands and then stops. Oh, God. You took out the corniest part of that punt. This is punt porn, ladies and gentlemen. It's the roll and the stop. Look at this one. This is like a shuffleboard at the bar. Yeah, look at that.
Ooh.
Punt god. Jordan Davis who? This is all punt god for me. I'm all on board. Evan McPherson who? Guess what? Kick him off the Bengals because he watched the halftime show. I'm all in on punt god. Punt god would never watch the halftime show no matter who was performing because he would be in the locker room like a football player should be, and he'd be practicing his punting.
That's 100% accurate. I would say 0%. Is the answer to this question, though. And it's got nothing to do with Jordan Davis, who was awesome. But we already knew this about Matt Araiza. We knew he was an absolute freak all season. He was hitting 75, 80, 85-yard punts, 86-yard punts during the season. So it shouldn't be a surprise he did this during the combine. But here's what I'm going to say, and this is a bigger combine thing, and nobody's talking about this, which is why I'm going to talk about it with you guys here on the show. The combine track was rigged, right? Like, they juiced up that track.
Oh, interesting.
Like, everybody.
Look, do we have Eisen numbers? I think Eisen's the only one who runs it every year. So if the Eisen numbers went down, that would be a good test. That would be a good sort of, like, sugar pill.
Jacoby, to see how a scientist. Works. Jacoby wants that control for this scientific experiment.
Exactly.
We're going to see it. We will see it during the pro days. I bet you will see that the pro day numbers are not better than the combine numbers, which is usually not the case.
Interesting.
That combine track in Indianapolis, which, by the way, desperately clinging on to the combine for dear life, wants to give the NFL any reason to keep the combine in Indianapolis.
Oh, that track God. Oh, Barnwell, I'm plagiarizing that take and not crediting you. That is brilliant, brilliant take from you. I love it.
That's fine.
I also have a question for you, Bill Barnwell.
Sure.
Because this is what the Ariza story is how early is too early to draft him on your team?
Okay. Here's the other part about this, which I feel like adds a whole other element to this equation. What foot does Matt Ariza kick with? Is it his left foot or his right foot?
I'm going to go left foot.
It's his left foot. Who loves left-footed punters more than anything on earth?
You expect me to know that?
I'm going to tell you who it is. It's Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick has spent the last 20 years of his life obsessing over left-footed punters. Anytime a left-footed punter enters the NFL, Bill Belichick is the favorite to go after and acquire that punter. And a half dozen teams in the NFL are run by either Bill Belichick or people whose jobs are basically exist because they happen to be close to Bill Belichick. So I think there's going to be this beating frenzy of teams who desperately want the best punter to come out of the college football ranks in the last 20 years who just happens to be left-footed. I think Matt Ariza is going to go a lot higher than anybody
expects. Draft him in the first round and then trade him to the Patriots for Mac Jones, one for one.
That's exactly what you do. Straight-up trade. We have Pablo muted. That's a real muted Pablo.
Oh,
that's a rare one.
Oh, great.
Oh, no, it's even worse.
Oh, now he's mad. I feel like this came from above. Like, it's not – Pablo didn't even do this. Where's Pablo, Tony? I think Tony's around
finally,
here somewhere. Tony usually gets in the studio around now. Tony somehow did this to Pablo. This is great.
The cancel culture casket is Pablo Torre.
Oh, now he's back. Finally. God, that was good for
a second. Sorry, I accidentally pressed the button that said mute on it while gesturing wildly.
Quick follow-up question on that. Why did it take you 45 seconds to figure that out? You know what I mean? It's like, I can't, no one can hear me speak. This is so crazy. Maybe I should check the mute buttons that are immediately within my vicinity. I don't know. Maybe they'd be the first place that I would check.
Very good question. It's because I thought I was infallible. I definitely would not have done that. So blamed it on you guys immediately. Follow-up question, speaking of infallibility. Why does Bill Belichick have a left-footed punter kink?
I can explain it to you, but would you rather just like to leave it to your imagination?
Yeah. So for me, I'll take 69% on this question.
I mean, this is 99 for me because I like to watch Alabaster write his nines all weird.
I do love the idea.
I wasn't going to say anything.
I do love the idea of the combine though going like Olympic bidding style. Like Indianapolis' monopoly on this is a totalitarian regime, and we need counter combines that have like slam ball kind of tracks.
Yes.
Like, you know, like, no, I want all of these things to be juiced.
I just want to point out, by the way, that NFL betting rule did not mention the combine. So Calvin Ridley, good to go.
Ooh, oh, wow. What a degenerate you would need to be to bet on like an eight-player parlay at the combine.
if you bet under on all those 40s, you made a lot of money this past weekend.
I love it. I love the juice track at the combine conspiracy theory because I do kind of believe it. Like, there's enough there where it's just like, hey, if you're like the operations person at Lucas Oil or whatever we're calling it nowadays, like, why not? If you can select from 10 different tracks, why not just ask the person who sells tracks to track people and say, which one's the fastest? I'll take that one.
Is that how that works? A man just shows up, he opens his jacket, and there's a bunch of tracks inside his jacket.
Exactly right.
Y'all looking for some tracks? We need some tracks.
Tires underneath here. We got whatever's inside a baseball on this one. What do you need, buddy? You want hard tracks? That's 100 yards, 200 yards, whatever you need, buddy.
That's the reason why this is plausible, though, is that Major League Baseball allegedly used two different baseballs this past season because they were trying to juice their balls. And I mean, this is just good business, Alabaster. And by the way, if you took the under on this punter segment, I am so sorry.
Matt Ariza, household name, would never watch the halftime show at the Super Bowl.
He's a pro.
What? One tiny bit of water throwing on this one. It was just that, well, Rich Eisen did run a 6.0 40. It's It's actually not his fastest 40 he's ever run. He ran a 6.03 last year, but he was down at five nines before. But he also could just be getting older.
That's
so
what I'm
maybe
saying.
The age is like
20 years. Yeah. Shout out to you,
just
Rich.
Your 40 model for age, Alabaster.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Yes, this could be his fastest 40 per age. So.
Agree.
All right, we are going to move on to a couple if-thens. We'll give you a conditional statement. Okay. You fill it out. First one, if the Warriors lose their sixth game in a row tonight, then blank.
Then it still won't convince me that they're not dangerous in the playoffs. They lost last night, sure. It's their fifth game in a row. They literally just they protested the game because of this like coronavirus makeup game. So they protested
Right.
Did not play Steph Curry. Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, who's going to be coming back. It was just like, this was basically like the Warriors franchise giving a slight, not like a true middle finger, but like maybe like a little one of those to the league. Because we're celebrating Jokic and we celebrated his numbers earlier. What I failed to mention is that like no one played for the Warriors.
Yes.
And they only won by 7 points. So, you know.
The alternate middle finger gesture is absolutely underutilized now that you remind me. There's the like thumb under the two front teeth. There's the bottom of the chin. Yeah, we got to diversify how we're telling people to F off.
Yeah. I agree with Jacoby here. I mean, like this has been a stretch where they haven't had Klay for part of it. They you know, Steph didn't play last night. And I just think their defense is not going to be as bad as it's been during this losing streak. They've been averaging 123 points allowed per game, just under 123 points allowed per game.
I don't think that's
possible.
That's
not going to happen. That's not going to happen with Draymond in the lineup. So to me, I think that's not going to be an issue. Also, they're playing the Wizards tonight, which that can break a lot of slumps for you if you're a good NBA team. So if they lose tonight and Draymond's on the lineup and he plays a full game, I'd be concerned. But I think that is extremely unlikely to happen.
Ooh, yeah, Alabaster, Draymond. Can you put up the original if-then? Because I've got an even better take for this that Bill Barnwell just reminded me of.
Please.
If the Warriors lose their sixth game in a row tonight, then the Wizards win, which puts the Nets in jeopardy of missing the play-in altogether. Ooh, let's up the spice level on this one. Ghost pepper.
Ooh, damn. Are we really? The Scoville scale of this take has escalated rapidly. The Wizards are 29-34, 11 right now in the East. The Nets are 32-33, the 9th seed. Damn.
Got some bad news for you guys.
What?
Warriors are playing the Clippers tonight.
Oh!
No!
Oh!
Yeah.
Well,
fair.
Not much of my final answer.
If the Warriors lose their sixth game in a row tonight, then meh.
No biggie. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, then I get to do the thing that is the most infuriating take on Debatable and elsewhere, which is wait for the playoffs, bro.
Yeah, that's what it is, right?
We've all been saying it about everyone for months.
Except for Aaron Rodgers. His playoffs don't matter, but everyone else, the playoffs matter.
Oh, come on. Like this guy's never won a Super Bowl before. It's this weird Aaron Rodgers thing where like because he's lost in the last couple of years, nobody can remember when he went undefeated and won the Super Bowl in 2011. Like that doesn't count anymore. It's so strange to me.
Strange is what you are, Alabaster. That's what Bill just called you. You said you're strange.
All right, well, we're going to move on to the Nets, and I'll just ignore being called strange. And the question is, they've lost 17 of 20. If the Nets keep losing, even though KD is back, then blank.
If the Nets keep losing, even though KD is back, then Ben Simmons has a chance to be an MVP candidate. Because I think he's going to save this team.
Are you serious?
I do.
Of course he is.
Ben Simmons is going to save this team.
Absolutely.
Okay, see, listen, guys, I just want to take you into take therapy for a second because
I
don't need take therapy. I'm totally fine. Why do you need to take therapy?
I convinced myself that the Lakers had a puncher's chance to win the West. I said the same thing about the Nets. It's over, guys. It is over. They've got a player who can't play in his home arena. They've got a player who we haven't even seen like dribble a basketball in a year. Okay? Like, Kevin, and then if you look at the supporting cast, low-key Joe Harris, they really miss, who's had like 14 ankle surgeries in the past 3 weeks.
Joe Harris made a ton of money and then proceeded to get as many ankle surgeries as he did dollars.
Yes. Are these elective, Joe? What's happening?
Joe Harris got the 14 ankle surgery parlay.
What he didn't tell you was it was actually like a calf implant that he was getting so he looked better on the beach. Like Phil Mickelson.
MVP True Life, yeah.
To be honest, is again, like, this is one of those puncher's chance in the playoffs. Everything changes and it slows down and talent matters more and ISO scores become more important, blah, 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 blah. The Nets don't have it.
That's the difference, right? Is that if the Warriors just like coast the rest of the way, they're still getting to the postseason. They're still going to have a chance to prove that they can just turn it on in the postseason. If the Nets coast the rest of the way, they're not making it to the postseason. Like, they have to win that play-in opportunity. And I don't trust that they're going to have two. And I don't trust that they're going to be healthy by the time that happens. Like we can't count on KD to be healthy the rest of the season. He just came back. I mean, you know, like, Ben Simmons is, like you said, not touched a basketball really for most of the past year. Like, there's no guarantee it's all going to be right by the time we get to the postseason. So to me, I think they're in such different situations. I agree with Jacoby. I don't have any faith the Nets are going to turn this around.
But if I was Calvin Ridley, I would bet for them to win the championship next season. I feel like their season is next season. But I also have been saying that for 4 years with the Nets now, which is totally fine. But it does
therapy, Jacoby, I feel like you've been on and off this bandwagon as about as many times as Joe Harris has had ankle surgeries.
Oh, I am as consistent as the NFL gambling policies. Yeah. None of this makes any sense.
Oh, God.
I will say this much. These last two games, they've played, I believe, the Heat and the Celtics. I just got a NBA schedule wrong, so please correct me, Alabaster, if I'm wrong. But that's the best team in the East that has the Heat culture and the hottest team in the East. So thank you. So I will say not playing those two teams might make the Nets look better with KD over the next few weeks to come. So I think if they can look competent in the next couple weeks, maybe they get lucky and there's some kind of vaccination rule change when it comes to Nets home games, maybe. But I think, like, there's so many things that have to happen for this vision of the Nets we have in our heads to actually play out on the court by the time we get to the postseason.
Yeah, and that vision is Ben Simmons. That is the vision.
Who has great court vision.
Who absolutely and has definitely never betrayed me before and made me look stupid by going all in and betting my future on his future.
Well, I feel like his vision should probably be blocked when he's at the free throw line. Has he tried blind free throws? I mean, it can't be worse.
One step at a time. Well, he's going to be in an arena. Ooh. He's going to be on the bench. Mm-hmm.
Wearing a uniform?
And the immersion therapy. Great. Oh, I would maybe uniform under the street clothes just to get feeling.
I love the Thursday night. Thursday night, I'm going to care so much more about the interactions between Ben Simmons and the Philly fans than I do of anything that's happening on the court in a pretty significant game as well.
You know who agrees with you? The fans of Philadelphia.
Yes. Absolutely.
They're going to have to bring in one of those, like, plexiglass things, like Uber drivers now, like they have in Turkey at games. They're going to have to put one of those in.
He's going to have the Pope Mobile around him at all times.
Yeah, you guys remember that Coach K send-off game at Cameron? It's that, but the exact opposite.
Yeah, fair. Fair.
Just everybody, all his former teammates coming to tell him to go bleep himself. Yeah.
Yes.
We got a notification from our employers that he was going to the basketball game. Like, that's how much focus there is on this. Like,
and you know what? That was news.
A notification to my phone. They're like, Ben Simmons is going to watch a basketball game. Huge news. Tear up the A block.
I'm glad I got it.
Me too.
I'm glad I got it.
I'm so focused on this one.
By the way, you can also bet in Philadelphia. So you can actually bet on the number of batteries in real time being thrown at Ben Simmons during that game. From the
new in-arena experience they're going with.
Oh, Lord.
I just want to see James Harden and Kevin Durant's handshake. I just want to see I just want to see James Harden and Kevin Durant just kind of look at each other like, eh.
a real limp.
Hello, Kevin.
The weakest
slap
of all time. Hey.
By the way, is there anything worse than a real limp handshake, by the way? Just like, eh.
a real firm handshake?
No,
I mean, I.
Oh no, I've messed up many handshakes in my life, going for like the white guy one, and they go for the other one, or I go for this one, and they go for the white guy one. I've had much worse handshakes than limp. I've made myself want to run out of the room and never see people again, based on my handshake failure. So yeah. I mean, there's nothing worse than going for this one and getting this one. And then getting a look in the face, confused and worried.
Right.
It makes me cringe even thinking about this. We end the show, I'm about to cry.
Just like shaking a fist. Just like that one.
Yes.
Oh, well now I saw a guy yesterday who I like kind of know, whatever. And he's going for this, but I'm doing the fist bump. And then he switches and then I switch.
Oh,
and we're just doing it. It lasted for like 10 seconds. I was just like, I'm never going to see you again. I'm never going to see your face again. This relationship is gone forever.
You got served each other accidentally, and now this friendship needs to end here.
Jacoby punched a man in the chest and is chalking it up to some embarrassing handshake maladies.
It is.
Oh, man.
Bill Barnwell, I want to talk to you about how you made ends meet in San Francisco. You know,
back to that dark. Time.
Apartment? Like, what were we eating? Like, what's going on?
Right.
I was living in the Mission. I was eating burritos for lunch and dinner 6 days a week. So my food consumption was like about $9.50. And I had a roommate. Of course, I had a roommate. It was in San Francisco. And I had like a very big work expense travel issue. So I would like file my expenses, get the money back in cash for the expenses, use the cash to pay my rent, and then use credit card debt to pay the actual expenses from work.
So, and then send it to Calvin Ridley to put in an 8-game parlay.
Load it up in River 6-5 for a credit default swap.
You're the best so far, Bill. It's fun to do the show with you, buddy.
I love how Bill is an expert on the NFL's economy, but seems to have really struggled with the actual economy.
with economy.